Greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So good to see all of you in the house of the Lord. And a very, very warm welcome to all our friends and visitors this morning. So good to see you in the house of the Lord. Yes, we do not know where you come from with regards to some of you. Yes, a very warm welcome nevertheless. And after the worship service, we want to invite you to please stay behind and have some fellowship with us. We love to get to know you. Now, we come to the near to the end of the year 2017, and very soon the year will be over. I trust all of us have been doing some self-examination in regards to what we did for Him in the course of the year. Where we have failed, and I know we have failed in many areas, let us do some corrections. Yes, make some improvements so that in the new year we will be able to serve the Lord better. And if we have done well, thank God for the grace that He has given us to enable us to do well for Him. And in the new year, let us reach for a greater height so that at the end of 2018 we may look back and say, thank God, the Lord was with me in the course of the year. And let us never forget that with the passage of 1 year, we are 1 year nearer to the return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Are we all not looking forward to the day when we will see the Lord Jesus Christ face to face? He will be here soon. Yes, let us all be very ready to meet Him when He comes. The subject this morning is, give us this day our daily bread. Now, I have spoken on the first part of the Lord's Prayer, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And this morning, it is, give us this day our daily bread. Now, of course, we see food on our table every morning, except on the days when we don't want to eat. But every morning when we want to eat, the food is there. Now, we believers are likely to give thanks unto the Lord for His goodness towards us. And that is good, that is proper, and that is right. Yes, but there are people who don't give thanks when they eat. Yes, they eat without thinking where the food comes from. But if they do think where the food comes from, chances are they will say, this food came from the supermarket, and it is by my hard-earned money that I have earned this bread to be placed on the table. Now, if we have this kind of thinking, let me just ask a few questions which are very basic and which are seemingly childish. Now, where does the bread come from? The bread, of course, comes from wheat flour, we say. And then where does the wheat flour come from? Oh, we say the wheat flour comes from wheat grain. That's obvious. Now, where does the wheat grain come from? Or we say the wheat grain comes from the wheat plant. But then the next question is, how does the wheat plant grow? The wheat plant needs sunshine and the rain. And then the next question is, where do the rain and sunshine come from? But of course, if we are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we will have to trace the origin of our bread to this common source. And that is the one true living God. But if a person is an unbeliever, he's really a fool in the sight of the one true living God. And he says, no, this food doesn't come from the one true living God. It doesn't come from God. It comes from nature. Now, he doesn't like to think that God is the provider of his food. Yes? And he thinks that all that he has on the table has been earned by his own strength. Now, he cannot, and he doesn't want to think that it is not by the sweat of his brow that the bread is on the table. He likes to think that it is his own effort that has gotten him the bread, and that is by his hard-earned money that the bread is placed on the table. Yes. He cannot afford to think that he is not in charge of his life. He loves to think that he's in charge of his life. He must be the master of his own life. But really, does it matter what he thinks? Of course it does matter as far as he is concerned. He might not want to think that it matters, but it matters. Because if he continues to believe that God doesn't exist, well, he's going to end up in hell. But as far as God is concerned, really, God does not depend on how this person thinks. God is independent of what he thinks. God is still God. He is infinite, eternal, unchangeable in his being, power, wisdom, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. He's unchangeable, infinite, eternal. Yes, it makes no difference what he thinks. But sad to say, even believers might think that they obtain their bread by their own strength, right? Many times they say, well, I earn this bread. It is on the table because I earn it. Yes, but friends, should we ever think this way? I'd like us to listen to what God said to the children of Israel when they were about to enter into the promised land. They had finished their 40-year wilderness wandering, and now they were on the plains of Moab about to enter into the promised land. And this is what God said to them through Moses, because God knew exactly how these people were going to think when they were prosperous, after they got into the promised land. God knew that they were going to forget him. And God said that, if you should ever forget me, remember this. It is I who give you the strength to get wealth. So let me read to you these few verses taken from the book of Deuteronomy. And when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, when you get into the promised land, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied and all, and thou say in thy heart, my power and the might of my hand hath gotten me this wealth, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. It is he who gives you the power to get wealth. Let's remember this truth. Yes, we who are believers must recognize that whatever we have really comes from the Lord, including our strength, our health, that we make use of to get our wealth. Now, everything that we have is a gift from him. The farmer in his prosperity might think that it is by his wisdom, by his hard work, by his industry, by his conscientiousness, that his crops are doing well and that he is having huge harvests. Yes, that kind of thinking is, of course, the kind of thinking that the children of Israel were warned against just before they entered into the promised land. Now, you remember not so long ago in Australia, in a country, Australia, where farming is done, there was something like 6 years of drought. Did you remember that? And that was not too long ago. Now, the farmer who might think that he was very, very powerful physically, very, very wise in the way he did his farming, or very, very conscientious in the way he did his farming, would then have to realize that he was really in serious trouble. After 6 years of drought, he was in serious trouble. And some were indeed very, very desperate. And we got news in those days that in every four days, one farmer would commit suicide. That was how high the rate of suicide was among the farmers, because they were very, very desperate. So, my dear friends, understand this truth. If God withholds his rain, there ain't going to be any crop. Then if God withholds the rain, there's not going to be a farmer, because there is no crop to farm. Let's understand this truth. So let us recognize whatever we have. Recognize that whatever we have, every good gift that we have is from the Lord. Pause for a while and think about it. Everything that we have comes from the one true living God. Now our wisdom is from him. Our health is from him. Our strength is from him. Now you think of King Nebuchadnezzar at the height of his power. Remember this great king, the king of Babylon? Yes, he established his Babylonian kingdom. At the height of his power, this was what he said. He thought that he had generated all his power, his strength, his wisdom, his might by himself. And he thought that he had built this mighty power, Babylonian empire by the might of his strength. And so this was what he said. I read for you from the book of Daniel chapter 4. The king spake, meaning to say King Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty?" You know, when he said those words, he was actually saying this. You know, this great empire, he saw this great empire that he established as one big palace. Can you understand that? As one big palace. I build this big palace. Yes, by what? By the might of my power for the honor of my majesty. You know what? God had just to cause a little bit of his mind to malfunction. And then what happened to him? He became a wild beast. He was turned into a wild beast that fed on grass for 7 years. And then finally, he repented. Yes, he came to his senses. He repented because God gave him back his sanity. And this is what he said. At the end of the days, at the end of the 7 years, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes unto heaven, and my understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High God, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation, and all the inhabitants are reputed as nothing, including Nebuchadnezzar. That was what he was saying. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, "What doest thou?" He recognized that he was nothing. If God did not give him anything, he did not have anything. He realized that. So when we pray this prayer, "Give us this day our daily bread," let us understand that we are actually making this confession. Think about it. We are actually making this confession. "Lord, every good thing, in fact, all things that I have come from you. You are the giver. I am the receiver." You understand when we pray this prayer? Yes, "Give us this daily bread. All that I have come from you. You are the giver. I am the receiver." So what's the purpose of praying this prayer? "Give us this day our daily bread." I'd like us to consider 5 P's this morning. 5 P's. Now, if we truly recognize that our daily bread, our physical supply, and our every good gift is from the Lord, then we will recognize that our purpose in praying this prayer is to what? Number one, remind ourselves of our own poverty. How poor we are. We really have nothing except that the Lord has given to us. And it is also to remind us that ourselves that our daily supply is not a payment of a debt that God owes to us. No, he simply gives us by his grace. And number three, it is to remind ourselves of the providential goodness of God. God is very, very good. So when we pray this prayer, we are reminding ourselves that God is really very, very good in supplying all our needs. And then number four, it is to remind us that we must not make use of the gifts that he has given us to provoke him to wrath, which many people do. They make use of the gifts that God gives to them to provoke him to wrath. And then also finally to remind us ourselves to praise him and to thank him for all that he has given to us. So we pray this prayer, first of all, to remind ourselves of our poverty, how poor we are. Indeed, our bread, our physical supply, yes, our every good gift is from the Lord. We have nothing except that he has given us to have. Now, I'd like us to think of King Nebuchadnezzar again, all right? Before he was struck down with this madness, he was absolutely obsessed with his greatness. You know, let us understand that when he boasted about his glory, you think he was really boasting? My dear friends, it was not an empty boast. It was a boast, but it was not an empty boast. When he said, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty?" It was actually not an empty boast, because the recent archaeological finds have discovered that 90% of the bricks dug up from where the city of Babylon stood actually had the name Nebuchadnezzar imprinted on each of the bricks, 90% of the bricks. And this was also the case in the other cities in the Babylonian Empire. When they dug up the bricks, there were so many bricks with the name Nebuchadnezzar on each of the bricks. So he was not boasting when he said that, "I build this empire by the might of my power." My dear friends, of course he could boast all that he wanted to boast. And even if his boast was not something that was empty, he still had to be humiliated when God humiliated him. And then when God gave back his sanity, this was what he realized. I think it is good for us to look at this part of the book of Daniel, chapter 4, a passage which I read earlier on, but let us look at it now. Daniel 4, verse 34. Old Testament. Daniel, chapter 4. Got it? All right, now I shall read. Daniel chapter 4 and verse 34. "And at the end of the days, at the end of the 7 years, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes unto heaven, and my understanding returned unto me. And I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing." He said all, including himself, reputed as nothing in the eyes of the one true living God. "And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven, and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, What doest thou?" Verse 36. "At the same time my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, my honor and majesty, my honor and brightness returned unto me. And my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and I excel, and excellent majesty was added unto me." After his humiliation, he said, all inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. Before that, before his humiliation, maybe he would say, all inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing in the sight of God, except Nebuchadnezzar. He might have said that before his humiliation. Then now, after his humiliation, he said, I was established in my kingdom. I was established. Before that, you know what he might have said? Chances are he would have said, and in fact he said it, I established this kingdom by myself. Now he said, I was established in my kingdom. Now, who established him? He recognized it was the one true living God who established him. And then now, after his humiliation, he says, excellent majesty was added unto me. Was added unto me. Somebody added to me. It was the one true living God. Now, before that, what would he have said? He said, well, I established my excellent majesty by myself. But now he says, excellent majesty was added unto me. Here was one who thought he was almighty. Now he saw himself as nothing and having nothing if God had not given him to have. Now when we recognize that every good gift comes from him, then we will be more inclined to see ourselves as actually nothing. That we are indeed beggars who need the grace of God. Really, when we come before the Lord and pray this prayer, give us this day our daily bread, we must actually be acknowledging ourselves that we are really nothing, beggars, coming before the Lord to give us, to provide for us by his grace. Yes, and then when we are in this state, of course, we will be more willing to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Then we will realize that all that we have come from this source, the one true living God. And so if we have this kind of thinking, then we will not go around with hates that are very swollen. Now when we sincerely pray this prayer, give us this daily bread, we are saying, Lord, I acknowledge that every good gift comes from you. Teach me to humble myself to remember this truth. And then when we pray this prayer, give us this day our daily bread, we are also saying that, Lord, we are actually so poor that we actually have nothing to give you except you have given us to give. Did you realize that? We have nothing to give unto the Lord except that He has given us to give. So, what should our attitude be when we bring our tithes and offerings unto the Lord? Think about it for a while. Yes, we have nothing. We have nothing to give unto the Lord except He gives us to give unto Him. So, what should our attitude be in our giving? Now, this prayer is to remind us that if we are able to give unto the Lord, it is actually a privilege given to us to give unto Him. Did you realize that? We have nothing. Yes, He gives us to give unto Him. So it is actually a privilege given to us to give unto Him. Now, who realized this? In history, of course, the great King David, he recognized this, he realized this. And so this was the prayer that he uttered unto the one true living God when the people brought in their gifts to build the temple of Jerusalem. Remember, David had the mind, the intention to build the temple of Jerusalem. And he urged the people to give. And the people gave. And when the people gave, David prayed this prayer. Now, I'd like us to look at this prayer. Yes, this should be the kind of prayer that we, the spirit of this kind of prayer is the kind of spirit that we must have when we pray, give us this day our daily bread. I'd like us to look at 1 Chronicles 29. Please turn to 1 Chronicles 29. 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 12. Alright, remember, the people brought in their gifts to build the temple of Jerusalem. Okay, verse 12. 1 Chronicles 29 verse 12. David says, before the Lord, both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. In thy hand is power and might. In thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Remember that? Remember this, what God warned the children of Israel against. Remember that? When you become prosperous, remember this. It is I who gave you the strength to get well. So David remembers this. Yes, it is in your hand to make great and to give strength unto all. Verse 13. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. Verse 14, but who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thy own hand have we, of thy own have we given thee. Of thy own have we given thee. You have given us to give. So, Lord, what are we to be able to give unto you? David counted a great, great privilege that he and his people were able to offer unto the Lord. So, friends, that is the kind of attitude that we should have when we bring our tithes and offerings unto the Lord. It is a great privilege given to us to be able to give. Now, if God gives us this privilege to give, the question is, how much should we give? A privilege for us to give. So, how much should we give? Friends, how much? Now, rightfully, God can demand everything from us, right? Everything is from Him, so He can say, give everything back to me. He can make that demand. But our God is very, very gracious. He only asks us to give Him how much? How much? One-tenth, that's all He says. Tithes, give me one-tenth. Now, do you think it is too much to give the Lord one-tenth after He has given us so much? What do you think? Yes. Now, this is really a test of whether we really believe that all that we have comes from Him, that it is a gift from Him. It is a test of whether we believe that to be true or not. And this is also a test to see whether we see it as a great privilege for us to give. And also, it is a gift, it's also a test of whether we really believe that this God is able to bless us more than we dare think and expect that He will give us when we give. Yes, it's a test. So Malachi 3:10 says, bring in all your tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. It is a test of whether we dare believe that the Lord is able to give us more abundantly there than we dare to expect and think. So when we pray this prayer, give us this day our daily bread, it is a reminder of how poor we are. We have nothing. All that we have comes from Him. It is also a reminder to us that if we are able to give, it is really a privilege for us to give unto the Lord. Now, when we pray this prayer, it is also to remind ourselves that what we receive is really not a payment of a debt from the one true living God to us. He doesn't owe us anything. God simply gives us out of His grace. Yes. Now, when we work for our employer, we give our employer our time, our energy, our talents, and then, of course, we expect something from return. But in return, our employer owes us our wages. And if he doesn't pay our wages, of course, we can demand that he pays us our wages. But as we said, the Lord does not owe us anything. He gives to us by His grace. Can we therefore come before the Lord and say, Lord, I want this, I want that. Give this to me, give that to me. Can we say that? Can we make that demand? We can't. But there are certain people who think they can. And there is a school of thought in the prosperity gospel circle that thinks that you can make this kind of demand from God. They say that what you should do is, if you want something from the Lord, you visualize that thing in your mind. Let's say if you want the Lord to give you a BMW car, you don't visualize a bicycle. You visualize a bicycle, you get a bicycle. You see? So you visualize a BMW, and then God will give you the BMW. I say, you're making demands on the one true living God. No, my dear friends, the Lord does not owe us anything. He doesn't have to, we cannot make any demands from Him. The right attitude for us when we come before the Lord is this. When we pray this prayer, give us this day our daily bread, is to say to the Lord, Lord, if it is your will to give it to me, yes, Lord, please give it to me. If it is not your will to give it to me, withhold it from me. That should be our attitude when we pray this prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, we pray this prayer also to remind us of God's providential goodness. Now, we don't deserve His goodness. We don't deserve His kindness. Yet He feeds us. Do you realize that? Yes, we don't deserve anything from Him. Yet He feeds us, particularly in Australia. He feeds us with how much? How much in Australia? The word is plenty. Isn't it true? He feeds us with plenty. Yes. Psalm 52 verse 1 tells us, the goodness of God endureth continually. And it's true. He is so good. He provides for us continually. And God is so good. So good that He even feeds His enemies. Did you realize that? He causes His sun, He sends His sunshine and His rain to fall both on the good as well as the wicked. So you see how kind and gracious God is. He provides even for His enemies. Now today, the world is very angry or very fearful of North Korea. All right, for testing its nuclear bombs and for testing its intercontinental ballistic missiles. Does the world now say, let's be very, very kind to the people of North Korea. Don't let them starve. You know, in winter it can be very, very cold. Don't let them starve. Send coal to them. Allow them to warm themselves up. Send food to them. Be very, very kind to them. Does the world think that way in regards to the people in Korea? I'm talking about the world in general. No, the world says, let's teach North Korea a lesson. Let us apply as much sanction as possible against North Korea. Let them starve so that they will be brought to their knees and finally kowtow to the will of the international community. Our God is not like that. Our God is kind, good, gracious, merciful. He keeps showing us His goodness, even to the wicked. That is why the Lord Jesus Christ says this, for He maketh His sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Now, if we think that God is so generous in giving us, even in giving us His only begotten Son to save us, even though we were His enemies, how generous should we be, especially in regards to giving to a good cause? Now think of the millions of people out there who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. If the money that we give is going to go to the salvation of souls, should we not give? Should we hold back? Should we be very, very willing to give? My dear friends, we should, and we must be very, very willing to give, because this God of ours is so kind, so generous. We have received so much from Him. How can we withhold goodness from other people? Are we afraid to be generous? Are we afraid to give? Are we very, very concerned that if we give, and then if God were to withhold His goodness from us, then we are finished, right? Then we will be bankrupted in no time. But my dear friends, God wants us to believe and wants us to take note of His providential goodness and to trust in His providential goodness. There was a widow who was very poor. Yes. But she was very charitable. She always gave to a good cause, and if there was a good cause for her to give money to, each time she would give $5. Each time, $5. Then one day, unexpectedly, she inherited a huge sum of money, a lot of money. Now, as of that day, each time she gave, she would give 25 cents. Not $5, but 25 cents. Then she was asked, why do you give 25 cents instead of $5? And she said this, when I was trusting the Lord for my daily bread, I had enough to spare. And so I gave $5 each time. But now that I have received this huge inheritance, I'm very, very afraid to give, because each time I give, I feel that I'm depleting this huge inheritance, and one day I'll become poor again. So, friends, yes, aren't you like that many a time? We look at such a story and say it's a funny story, cannot be true, and so forth, but very often it is very true of us. Yes, we are so afraid that if we are very, very generous, then our wealth will dry up. But friends, the truth is, our generosity dries up when we fail to note and trust the one true living God for His providential goodness. So when we pray this prayer, let us remind ourselves to trust the goodness of the Lord to provide for us our daily bread. And then give as He has given us to give, and not look at what we have and give depending on what we have. But rather, my dear friends, trust His providential goodness when we give. Then when we pray this prayer, the purpose is also to remind ourselves not to use these gifts to provoke the Lord to anger. Just see how wicked we are. He feeds us. He feeds all human beings. What do human beings do? They fight against Him. They rebel against Him. Are we not then biting the hand that feeds us? God gives people a good mind. And what do they use their good mind for? They use their good mind to plan to rob and to steal. Yes, and to commit murder. And God gives people a good body, a healthy body. What do they use the body for? They use the body to commit adultery. Then the Lord gives us talents. But what do we use the talents for? We make use of the talents to serve the devil rather than to serve the one true living God. Now in the case of the children of Israel, it was not so much their physical adultery that they were engaged in that was much condemned, but rather their spiritual adultery. But of course the two were very much related, because when the Israelites worshipped their gods, they also engaged themselves in sexual activities as part of the religious rituals. Now, they were going after other gods, after God had provided for them. And this was what the Jeremiah said of them. Yes, God through Jeremiah said this of them in Jeremiah 5:7. You don't have to refer to this verse. Let me read this verse to you. Yes, God says this, "How shall I pardon thee for this? Thy children have forsaken me and sworn by them, by those false gods that are no gods, when I have fed them to the full. They then committed adultery and assembled themselves by troops in the harlot's house." They ran together in troops into the harlot's house. The harlot's house is not necessarily a bad woman here, but the harlot's house here refers to the house of the idols. Yes, they went into the harlot's houses. But you say, and I say, yes, I know God provides for me. But how can you say that I am guilty of spiritual adultery? I'm very, very sure I'm not guilty of spiritual adultery. Why do you say that I'm guilty of spiritual adultery? My dear friends, we are guilty of spiritual adultery. It's true. Because if we love anything more than we love the one true living God, that thing has become our God, that thing has become our idol. And if that thing becomes our God, becomes our idol, yes, we love that thing more than we love the one true living God, we are actually committing spiritual adultery. Seriously speaking, we are. And that's the truth. I think for many of us, it is not a case of using our gifts to act against the one true living God. But rather, for many of us, it is the inaction of using our gifts to serve the one true living God. We hold the gifts. We don't want to make use of the gifts. So it is our inaction to make use of these gifts to serve the one true living God. That's the thing that most of us are guilty of. It's not that we make use of the gifts to work against God. No, but our inaction to use the gifts that we have. There was this, let me tell you another story. There was this beggar who sat at the gate of a rich man. The rich man was the one who was very, very generous, one who was very philanthropic, and he took care of this beggar. The beggar's entire livelihood depended on the generosity of this rich man. Now one day, this rich man needed to do an errand, something important, but then all his servants were occupied with their duties, so he could not call his servants to do all those things. So he thought of the beggar. Now I think the beggar will do this job for me. He went to the gate, asked the beggar to do the errand for him. And to his astonishment, the beggar said this to the rich man, "I beg, but I don't do no errands." Yes. Now this is how we treat our Heavenly Father. Isn't it true? We come before the Lord. We beg. We say, "Lord, give us this day our daily bread." So we receive the daily bread from the one true living God. But when it comes to serving Him, we say, "Lord, I beg, but I don't do service unto you." Isn't it true? That's very, very true of us, my dear friends. But let that not be the case. Let us give, when we pray this prayer, "Give us this day our daily bread," let us come before the Lord in this manner. "Lord, give us our daily bread so that I can make use of what I have for you, for your glory, so that I can serve you better." My dear friends, that must be our prayer when we come before the Lord, when we pray this prayer, "Give us this day our daily bread." Then when we pray this prayer, yes, let us remember that it is to remind ourselves to praise and to thank Him. We've received so much from Him. We pray, "Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Every good and every perfect gift comes from you. He's good. He never fails. So what should we do?" My dear friends, when we pray this prayer, let us remember to give thanks unto Him for all that He has given us and praise Him. Yes, that is why the conclusion of the Lord's Prayer ends with praises unto the one true living God. So it is very vital that we remember to give thanks unto Him for all that He has given us. And then finally, when we pray for daily bread, let us realize the Lord is actually teaching us to pray that God will give us what He deems best and most excellent for us. All right? We may think these are the things that are best for us, but God may say no. When we pray our prayer, "Give us this day our daily bread," let us remember we are asking the Lord to give us what is most excellent for us. All right? It may not be what we want, but the Lord knows exactly what we are in need of. So let us pray in the spirit of the writer of the book of Proverbs. All right, this verse, two very familiar verses, which we have learned many times in time past. But let's look at these two verses. Proverbs 30, 8 and 9. Proverbs 30, 8 and 9. Proverbs 38 and 9. All right. two verses, Proverbs 38 and 9. Let's read them together. Proverbs 38 and 9. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. In essence, yes, when we pray this prayer, what we are praying is this. Let me say it for you. Teach us to depend on you, Lord. Teach us to trust your goodness. Teach us to believe that your will is the best. If you give, we thank you. If we withhold, we thank you. Because you know what is best for us. Essentially, that is what we are praying when we come before the Lord. Give us this day our daily bread. So when we pray this prayer, give us this day our daily bread, what we are saying is that we recognize that we are poor. We have nothing except the Lord gives to us. We really have nothing. And all that we have comes from Him. And this prayer, when we pray this prayer, it is to remind ourselves to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. And then it is also remind us that if we are able to give, it is really a great, great privilege that the Lord has given us to give. And when we pray this prayer, it is to remind ourselves that whatever we receive from God is not a payment that God owes us as a debt. No, it is not. He gives us in accordance to His mercies, His will, and in accordance to His grace. We have no right to make any demands from Him. So every time we pray, let us be sure that we pray, Lord, may your will be done. And then when we pray this prayer, give us this day, give this day our daily bread, it is also to remind us of God's providential goodness. Let this prayer remind us that God is very, very good. He provides for us. All that we have comes from Him. Let us never be fearful that He will withhold when we are in need of what of His provision. Then when we pray this prayer, let us remember that it is to remind us that the misuse of these gifts are strictly forbidden by Him. If these gifts are going to cause Him to show forth His anger, we are not to make use of these gifts to provoke Him to anger. And finally, when we pray this prayer, let us remember to praise Him and to thank Him. Yes, this prayer should serve as a reminder to us that we are to praise Him and to thank Him. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the prayer that you have taught us to pray, even the Lord's Prayer. And Lord, this morning we thank you for the lessons that we can learn from your wonderful word. Teach us, O Lord God, as we pray, to remind ourselves how poor we are. We actually have nothing. But Lord, in accordance with your mercies and your grace, you answered our prayers and you gave us. You provided for us. Teach us to trust in your providential goodness. And teach us never, O Lord God, to make use of the gifts that you have given to us to provoke you to anger. And teach us, O Lord God, always to give thanks unto you for your goodness and your kindness towards us in the giving unto us. And Lord God, we pray that you teach us that we may realize that when we ask of you, we should be asking things that are most pleasing to you. And should you ever withhold things from us, we pray that we may also be very thankful for your withholding. And when you give to us, Lord, we pray that we may offer praises and thanksgiving unto you. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that you will strengthen the faith of everyone here this morning. In Jesus' blessed name we pray and give thanks. Amen.